Well, let's go ahead and get started. Good morning. I'm Jose Montemayor, Commissioner of Insurance. It is approximately 9:30 in the morning on January 8, 2003. I call this hearing to order to consider two docket items, all of which are related to coverage by the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association. The first docket, number 2540, concerns the proposed amendments to 28 TAC Section 5.4101 regarding the adoption by reference of the dwelling and commercial policy forms for windstorm and hail insurance, and 28 TAC Section 5.4401 concerns the adoption by reference of the Texas Special Mobile Home Windstorm and Hail Insurance Policy. And docket number 2541, which concerns the proposed amendment to 28 TAC Section 5.4501 regarding adoption by reference of the rule manual governing the writing of windstorm and hail insurance coverage by TWIA. Notice of hearing in these matters was published in the Texas Register on December 13, 2002. Due to the nature and similarities of both of these docket items, I will consider them together. Procedurally, I will ask staff to make its presentation on both dockets and afterwards receive comments. Please limit your remarks to 10 minutes each if you have any, and please fill out a witness card noting your position on the proposed actions prior to testifying. At this time, I recognize Marilyn Hamilton, Associate Commissioner, Property and Casualty Division.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioner, Mr. Jarman. Commissioner, today under docket number 2540, staff is proposing the adoption of amendments to 28 TAC Section 5.4101 concerning the adoption of reference of the dwelling and commercial policy forms for windstorm and hail insurance coverage by the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association, or the Association, and Section 5.4401 concerning the adoption by reference of the Texas Special Mobile Home Windstorm and Hail Insurance Policy. The purpose of the association is to provide windstorm and hail coverage to residents in designated catastrophe areas who are unable to obtain such coverage in the voluntary market. In a petition filed with the department on March 12, 2002, and amended on November 13, 2002, the association requested amendments to three policy forms. These proposed policy amendments concern provisions relating to mold coverage in the dwelling, commercial, and mobile home policies. Staff supports the proposed amendments as filed by the association with modifications agreed upon by both staff and the association. The amendment to Section 5.4101 proposes the adoption by reference of an amended dwelling policy form and an amended commercial policy form. The proposed amendment to the dwelling policy would add a new exclusion number 9 entitled mold, fungi, or other microorganisms, and the proposed amendment to the commercial policy would add a new exclusion number 10 of the same title to the exclusion sections of these policies. The language in the proposed exclusions is essentially the same for both policies. The exclusions define mold as the presence, growth, proliferation, spread, or any activity of mold. The exclusions apply to the cost to remove mold from covered property, the cost to tear out and replace any part of the building or other property required to gain access to the mold, and the cost of testing to confirm the absence or presence or level of mold. The exclusions also contain an exception that provides coverage for mold that is located upon the portion of covered property which must be repaired or replaced because of sudden, accidental, direct physical damage resulting from a wind or hail loss that is covered under the policy. The exception also specifies that sudden and accidental damage shall include a loss event that is hidden or concealed for a period of time until it is detected, provided the loss was reported no later than 30 days after the date it was detected or should have been detected. The exception further specifies that the mold coverage in the exception does not include coverage for 1. The cost to treat, contain, remove, or dispose of the mold beyond that which is reasonably necessary to repair or replace the covered property, and 2. the cost of testing for the absence or presence of mold, 3. the cost of decontamination of the resident's premises, and 4. any increase in loss of use or debris removal coverage or diminution in value. The amendment to Section 5.4401 proposes the adoption by reference of an amended Texas Special Mobile Home Windstorm and Hail Insurance Policy, or Mobile Home Policy. The proposed amendment to the mobile home policy would add a new exclusion entitled mold, fungi, or other microorganisms to the policy. The language of the exclusion is essentially the same as that described in the proposed exclusions for the dwelling and commercial policy forms. This exclusion also contains the same exception as previously described for the dwelling and commercial policies. The other provisions in the proposed exclusion limit the mold coverage by specifying that there is no mold coverage beyond the physical damage to the covered property and that only reasonable and necessary costs to repair or replace the damaged covered property are covered. Any expenses beyond this due to mold, such as remediation, testing, decontamination, or any increase in expenses for loss of use and or debris removal due to remediation or testing are not covered. We have not received any comments as of today on this proposal. However, contingent upon any comments we might receive before the comment period ends January 13, 2003, staff respectfully requests that you consider for approval the proposed amendments to 28 TAC Section 5.4101 and 28 TAC Section 5.4401 to be effective March 1, 2003. Under docket number 2541, staff is also proposing the adoption of amendments to 28 TAC Section 5.4501 concerning the adoption by reference of the rule manual governing the writing of windstorm and hail insurance coverage by the association. General Rule J2, deductibles for commercial risks in public buildings, in the manual of the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association, or the manual, outlines the deductible options and corresponding premium credits that are available for commercial policies. On January 2, 2002, the association petitioned the department to amend the current commercial deductible program. It is the association's long-range plan to increase the minimum deductible level on commercial policies to 1%, which is the current minimum deductible level for residential policies. The association's rationale for increasing the minimum commercial deductible level is to reduce the overall exposure of the association by reducing the frequency of small non-catastrophic losses. The association plans to make changes to initiate the 1% deductible in two or three stages in order to minimize any adverse rate impact to policyholders. The amendments in this proposal are intended to implement the first stage of this plan. The first stage in the process is to establish a new 0.5% deductible level and raise the minimum deductible from $250 to $500. Staff supports the proposed amendments as filed by the association with modifications agreed upon by both staff and the association. Currently, under General Rule J2A, there are three flat amount deductible options and corresponding credits as follows. 1. For policies with limits that range from $0 to $49,999, there is a $250 deductible with a 3% premium credit. 2. For policies with limits that range from $50,000 to $99,999, there is a $500 deductible with a 6% premium credit. And 3. For policies with limits of $100,000 and above, there is a $1,000 deductible with a 12% premium credit. The association proposes to delete these current flat amount deductible options and replace them with new deductible options that would be based on 0.5% of the limit of insurance for the policy written with a schedule of premium credits that correspond to specific ranges based on the insured limit of insurance. The proposed new table for 0.5% deductibles contains 17 ranges for the amount of insurance of the policy with corresponding credits for each range, beginning with $0 to $100,000 with a credit of 6% and ending with $25 million and over with a credit of 37%. The new table would specify that all 0.5% deductibles are subject to a $500 minimum, therefore the $250 deductible will no longer be an option. General Rule J2B currently provides for 9 large deductible options that include $1,000, $2,500, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $50,000, and $75,000 deductibles, each with a corresponding table that lists the amount of premium credit based on the amount of insurance purchased by the insured. Under the association's proposal, certain credits for the 9 large deductible tables would be amended. The key change proposed to the large deductible credits is a reduction in the credit for the $1,000 deductible. The current credit of 12% for amounts of insurance above $20,000 is being reduced to 10%. To offset the premium impact of this decrease in the credit, some of the credits in the tables for those deductible options that are higher than $1,000 are being increased. Again, we have not received any comments as of today on this proposal. However, contingent upon any comments we might receive before the comment period ends January 13, 2003, staff respectfully requests that you consider for approval the proposed amendments to 28 TAC Section 5.4501 to be effective May 1, 2003. This concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I appreciate your presentation. I'll now recognize those that have indicated a desire to be heard on the agenda items. I do not have any witness cards. Do we have anybody indicated? And I also recognize Mr. David Weber, who just joined us, who is the legislative director for Mr. Seaman. Welcome, Mr. Weber. Is there anyone present here that wishes to comment on this proposal? Let the record reflect, then, that all of those desiring to comment have now done so. And I want to thank all of you for your participation at this hearing, giving your time and your thoughts to us. Thank you, Ms. Hamilton. I will not be making my decision today, as the period for comments will not expire until January 13th. I will take all the matters under advisement and will issue my decision in the very near future, shortly after the comment period expires. Thank you for your participation in this hearing. The hearing now stands adjourned.
Thank you.